This is Wednesday, September the 25th, Quan Nai, Vietnam. Dear Florence, hello baby. I'm certainly pleased to be able to sit where I am tonight and talk to you on my little tape recorder. This is one of the better days that I've had in a long time, and I'm so pleased with myself and so pleased with the world that I just must tell you all about it. I received a letter from you today which tops the day off. I've just had a perfect day, and now, after a good dinner, I'm sitting in my room talking to you in an almost reclining position in my easy chair, my feet up on another chair, and I'm just going to spend 5, 10, 15 minutes with you in easy conversation so that you'll know how happy I am, how contented I am, and how pleasant it is to sit and talk to you for this little time. To start the day off, I woke up for the first time in maybe 4 or 5 days feeling rather good in health. I've had a little stomach trouble and a little bit of flu or some kind of aching bone business, and I've been taking some pills and trying to get through the day, and I've had a hectic time at the office since I've been badly disorganized, as you have heard me talk about before. But it seems like things have changed considerable. The man that I worked with, a colonel, finally got transferred home, and his relief is a major that is entirely different. Now, I don't know whether this had anything to do with it or not. I try not to think it does, but the colonel was a colored man, a very good man, a mason, and he worked hard, and he was a honest fellow, but he was rather overbearing in his grasping and the work he did. He didn't distribute it too well. And on top of that, he had finagled the turnover of my office while I was absent, and I don't know whether I resented this or not. Nevertheless, he left, and he left today. But since Monday, the major has been working in his place. The first thing he did was invite me to move into the office where he is with him. And since I've been in there, the whole concept of my job has changed. I'm in a place where I'm sheltered from the traffic that moves around, and I can concentrate, and I can do a lot better work. Anyway, today was a day that I've done nothing but a lot of work. Just start from the word go, and have been really accomplishing some things that I haven't been able to get to before. First off, we've had trouble in the house I live in with electricity and with the plumbing. Now, I'm not bothered with the plumbing too much. If the water isn't hot, it doesn't bother me. I take a cold shower. But this fellow I work with, the boss, who lives right in the room next to me, and whom you've heard me express once or twice opinions of, is a kind of a sissy. Anyway, he got to have his water hot, and he's got to have it hot now. And of course, I'm the guy that's supposed to see that all of this is done throughout the whole activity. Nevertheless, I've had 3 or 4 days of real orneriness because he hasn't had any hot water. And so I spent the bigger part of the day trying to get the hot water tank lined up and the plumbing fixed up, and finally come to the conclusion that there's several things wrong, mainly that the plumbing is pretty good, but the hot water tank is not in a position to give him enough hot water from the location of his shower. So I think I'll relocate the hot water heater, and maybe, I hope it'll be all right. Anyway, I did a lot of work on that today, and this is the first time I got right out of the office and did some physical honchoing or bossing. Then the electricity's been acting up for two or three days, and we've been running on the generator, which is a terrible pain in the neck since the generator rattles and roars and sounds like a tractor at full speed going right out your window, and I'm always afraid the operators will let it burn up by not keeping oil in it and so forth. So today I went over to the power plant and I told them people that I wanted some electricity and that I was very disappointed, as we were one of their biggest sources of income, and that we did a lot of good for them. They wasn't doing anything for us, and I wanted them to come over here and fix the electricity. Well, I have my own electricians, and so while I was doing the plumbing, we started checking out the electricity, and I followed them around and asked him questions, and he finally pointed out that there was the trouble was out on the line coming in, and they have a fuse box or some kind of a box out there, and that there was two fuses blown, and it was the company's fault. So he went back, and we went back to the power company, and as he talked to them, they said, yes, we found out in a reading of one of our instruments that it's our problem here, not so much that the fuse is out, but that our some kind of an instrument that they push power through has been low on the pole that goes to you, and we're going to fix that up, and you'll have electricity by 6:30. Well, sure enough, the full power came on, and here I am, happy now that I've got electricity back in our house, that I have got at least to know what's wrong with the water, and I've had a very good meal, and I'm sitting here and I've read the letter that you wrote me on the 20th, the Friday, that you woke up with a big headache, and it's such a sweet letter that I'm just having a nice time answering it. But before I start talking about the letter, I want to tell you that Ed Dillery and I tonight prepared supper, and we prepared beef stroganoff, and guess where we got it? It came in a package from my baby, beef stroganoff, already prepared, and all we had to do was put it in a pan, in a kettle, add hot water and some butter, and let it cook itself for 15 or 20 minutes, and boy, was it delicious. We had a very fine dinner, and we had some, I had some cranberry sauce with that stroganoff, some cranberries, and we had bon mi, which is kind of French bread with jam on it. And we topped it off with some crushed pineapple out of a can. That's pretty good for us guys. We really eat high on the hog, and when we eat that flavorful stuff that you gals send us and we get in these packages, it's already prepared. We're upsetting the Vietnamese a little with this easy cooking. They really don't like our food, but it's so easy for us to cook stuff up out of this that they're a little bit amazed. They won't eat it, but they don't mind when we prepare it because they don't have to cook our meals. And they've been having a lot of tough trouble here lately with the electricity off and the water off and the rains. The rains are really something with these maids. They have to do our laundry, and they do it outside in the wash tubs, and they hang the laundry outside, and there's usually a pretty good batch of laundry for three guys. And when it rains like this, they can't get it dry, and they have to hang it all over wherever they can. And we've had a big guest room called the bullpen that they use quite a bit, but we've moved some people in there, and there's about a half a dozen soldiers living in there now, and they can't use it, and they have to stretch these clothes wherever they can find them in any kind of shelter. And it's real difficult on them. So they struggle hard, but they're real good. They work for us, and they make all kinds of mistakes. And people like I and Ed Dillery, we don't mind the mistakes. We live right with them. But the boss is kind of finicky, and he likes to have things all his own way or all his way. And he don't tolerate their mistakes too much, particularly when they make them after half a dozen times that he's told them he wants things a certain way. But persistence does pay off, because we now have them not serving the food till we sit down and the food is served hot. And Vietnamese custom, I guess they don't have much sense of time on food, and they'll put it on the table and let it sit there until somebody sits down and eats it. But we've got them trained not to put anything on until we sit down. So at least the boss gets his food hot, and I guess we enjoy it a little better. I don't know. Well, honey, I'm terribly sorry to hear about your headache that you had when you woke up on Friday so early and had to get up and struggle around. I imagine you didn't say when the headache went away, but after you got up at 4:30 and started working on that coffee, I imagine it went away before 8 o'clock. It's hard for you to work and struggle. I do that quite a bit. I get up. Well, I wake up at 3 o'clock sometimes and read till maybe 5. But when I wake up at 4:30, I usually lay around till about 5, and then I get up and stay up all day, or at least till noon. We have a siesta hour, as you know, and I get a little siesta in. But gee, you did some work, and about 3:30 headed for Lafayette and found that Aunt Barb was back in the hospital, which is really sad news for me and for you. Poor old Aunt Barb, I guess they've about had it. I don't know what to do. I feel like you. It's so sad to put these people in homes where they'll pass on right soon. But what in the world are you going to do with them if they're like Uncle Joe, that there's not much you can do for them? So someone has to watch out after them, and someone has to keep them. But I always remember the Jameses, and I always feel rather sad when someone that's that age and who's always been a part of us do something like that. I think we probably don't know, but we probably better be prepared for this. Even as you and I, we can be the most fortunate people in the world at this time of our lives. We can have everything in the world at this time of our lives, but there'll be a time, and it isn't too far away, when you and I'll be faced with these kind of decisions. It might be that we should move into a place like that while we're still pretty active, and just live in there and not worry about anything else. maybe that'll be the best thing. Then you'll be conditioned to it when you get in such a position that there's no place for you to go but to one of them. I think people are not flexible enough when they get old like that. They're frightened because they've lost their ability to take care of themselves, and the unknown of moving away into some place where you have to depend on someone to take care of you is really frightening, and I don't blame them a bit, particularly if they have kids and they think the kids have gone away and left them and deserted them. But anyway, we'll think about that as the time comes on, and we'll be prepared for it, you and I think, when the time comes. Anyway, you tell Aunt Barb and Uncle Joe, if they're interested, that I think of them and love them, and that we'll do everything we can to take care and help them, contribute to their welfare. I know as you go and see her and Uncle Joe that you are contributing just by being there and by taking the time to go and visit. Agnes is another story of sorrow. I think that you feel her suffering probably more than she does, but these are all things, and those family squabbles, of course, are all things that happen in all families, and these guys make up with one another time after time, and they've fought time after time, and they're that kind of a family, and Agnes has been married to them long enough. She knows. And although it might have ruined her vacation, I imagine that she and Tommy will have more and more. I hope they do. I don't know old Tom whether he'll last out too long. I think by the time he gets maybe as old as I am, that he'll probably be a little difficult to handle. That's the time to feel sorry for Agnes, when she gets old, when she don't have anybody to care for her, and her daughter's gone, and she has her boys decides to put her in the home. You and I will be at the same age, and we will have lots to worry about, won't we? But remember these things, honey, when you think of your sister. So if you can do anything for her now at this time of life to make her happy.